Scripture reading this morning will come from Luke 5, verses 1 through 3. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Now so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat.
Thank you so much, brother, for that reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, the first three verses, indicating something that happened in the life of our Lord and those who heard His instruction. Thank you for being in our assembly today to worship God. We appreciate the fact that you brought your Bibles with you and that you will be willing to note the items in the lesson, the outline of which is on the back of a copy of the Family Matters. If you didn't get one of those, please do. Please open your Bible and look with us to some of the passages as we go through them to think together about the Word of God and how it instructs us. Luke tells us some information, some mechanics, I guess, about how the Lord is teaching on this particular occasion. In the scene before us, we are told that the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the Word of God. If you put yourself in that position or consider the terrain of where he was on that day, you'll see something like this. This is a picture from the Sea of Galilee looking upward toward the shore of the sea. And you'll notice how the terrain escalates as it leaves the sea and goes upward. And if you think, picture in your mind the Lord sitting in a boat not too far from shore and directing his voice toward people on the shore who are listening. If you have been to a theater or an amphitheater and have noticed the design of it and the construction of it, you might recall that seats in the amphitheater go upward, which is a way of designing the theater so that whatever happens on the stage will be heard to the best possibility by those who are sitting in the audience. There have been people who have gone from the United States and other countries and conducted an experiment by someone standing close to the shore and others walking up that hill quite a distance away so that the speaker appears to be a speck. And then that person, without benefit of amplification through a PA system, reads something from the Word of God or quotes something that Jesus said on an occasion like this. And with their recorders going, you can hear every word plainly that is said. That's just an interesting little tidbit to note about this particular occasion where people came together to hear the Word of God. Sometimes we give so much attention to the enemies of Jesus that we lose sight of the fact that Jesus had many friends. And the reason he had those friends was because he spoke for God. And consider the fact that there were people who were anxious to hear the words that he spoke. Everything Jesus spoke was from God. He made that clear in John 8, 26 through 29. And even today, the Bible remains, in this world, the most read book, the world's best seller. In an effort to appreciate the very many people who heard him gladly, Mark 12 and verse 37, or the large crowd enjoyed listening to him from the New American Standard version of that passage, let us observe several things about listening to the Word of God. Number one, there are motives which induce men to hear the Word of God. What might some of those be? There'll be some people that will listen to the Word of God just out of sheer curiosity. When Paul was in Athens in Acts chapter 17, verses 18 through 21, some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, we are told, were conversing with him. Some were saying, what would this babbler wish to say? Others, he seemed to be a proclaimer of strange deities because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is which you are proclaiming? Curiosity, you see. For you are bringing some strange things to our ears, so we want to know what these things mean. Now the Athenians and strangers visiting there used to spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new. They followed the daily news broadcasts very persistently. They were curious to know about the things that Paul taught, and that curiosity induced them to hear. That curiosity wasn't the blanket that made all of their motives pure in listening. But that curiosity induced them to listen to the Word of God in that case. And there are people like that today that listen to the Word of God out of sheer curiosity. What does it say? What does it teach? There are some that listen to the Word of God out of a desire for material gain. With some people, hearing is a business expediency. Paul, before Felix in Acts chapter 24, beginning in verse 24, some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, go away for the present. And when I find time, I will summon you. At the same time, too, he was hoping that money would be given him by Paul. Therefore, he also used to send for him quite often and converse with him. You see, Felix had something in mind, something more than just learning about what the Word of God said and how it could be applied. Felix saw it as an occasion where he might be materially enhanced. Some people have the motive of entrapping the speaker. We can see this in the life of Christ. The motive is born of envy and jealousy. In Mark 12, verse 13, they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to him in order to trap him in a statement. In Luke 11, 53 and 54, Luke in his gospel records, when he left there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to be very hostile and to question him closely on many subjects, plotting against him to catch him in something he might say. You see, the motive was impure. They wanted to listen to what he taught in order to bring charges against him, if they possibly could, by what he said. There are some cases where people listen to the Word of God because they have an admiration for a certain speaker. They love his personality. They like his voice. They appreciate his logic. And sometimes this interest that they have in listening to his words don't really rise above the human element. But there is another motive which we must consider and which we must appreciate, and that motive for listening to the Word of God is the love of truth. Some men listen to the Word of God because they love it. They know it is from God. They appreciate its holy character. They love the power that it has to transform the lives of anyone who will receive it genuinely, sincerely, honestly, into their hearts and let it work. This is the very highest of man's motives. A man with this motive will obey the Lord's instruction whenever he hears them and whatever they say. Considering the Ethiopian eunuch of Acts chapter 8, 26 through 31, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert road. So he got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. If we read the rest of the story, we'll see that the man obeyed the instructions that he was given through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which is harmonious with every other statement in the gospel of Christ. And he ended up being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of his sins on that day. He heard because he loved the truth. That was his motive. He wasn't out to make any money. He wasn't out to enhance his own personal image among men. He heard because it was the Word of God, and he respected that. And he wanted to live in harmony with it. What a great motive that is. Out of all the motives that men could possibly have for hearing the Word of God, for listening carefully to the Word of God, this is the highest one. And this is the one that you and I should be encouraged to have today. Let us consider, secondly, how men should hear. Very much depends upon the hearer's attitude. Many who hear are no better for hearing. Many who hear are no better than they would have been had they closed their ears. Some take heed how the speaker speaks. They should take heed how they hear, according to what the Lord said in Luke 8 and verse 18. In the parable of the lamp, the Lord said this, "So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him." That's a stern warning by Jesus, don't you think? It indicates to us that it is very important how we receive instruction from the Word of God. Very important. So men should take heed how they hear. How should they hear? Discerningly. Discerningly. In Matthew 7, 15 through 18, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets." He's giving us a warning, and he's telling us what is a danger to us. We need to understand what that is. We need to know what it is. We need to discern what it is. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit." Pretty much common sense with you and I, isn't it? In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, the Apostle John urged his listeners, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." One's verbal profession, what he professes with his mouth, what he speaks with his mouth, must be capable of passing the test of genuineness. It must be harmonious with the will of God. If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Christians must be acutely aware of the fact that there are false prophets, and we must test the words that they speak, and not only the words that they speak, but the fruits of their lives when they appear. As the old Spanish proverb suggests, forewarned, forearmed. To be prepared is half the victory. How men should hear? They should hear discerningly. They should hear candidly. And that means to hear without being affected by bias or prejudice or malice. It means to hear honestly, without deception, without allowing someone to deceive you, and without allowing yourself to be deceived. With open hearts, as in Acts 17 and verse 11, Paul and Silas at Berea, we are told by the inspired writer in the book of God here that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness. Great eagerness. They didn't have a problem with bias or prejudice or malice. They honestly received with great eagerness the gospel of Christ as it was presented to them. You know, prejudice is a very blinding thing. And we can blind ourselves from the Word of God by entertaining prejudiced ideas in our hearts that cause us to put an unwarranted twist and interpretation on what God really says in His Word. We must free ourselves from those kind of biases and those kinds of influences. Jesus said in Matthew 13 and verse 15, as He quoted from the prophet Isaiah, "For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear. For they have closed their eyes, otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them." He shows the condition whereby men may be healed by God if they return. That is a condition of the heart. By one's own choice, the heart becomes dull. By one's own unwillingness to listen, the ears have become hard of hearing. And it is because they have deliberately closed their eyes that these eyes are shut even more tightly. There is a hearing which hardly even deserves the name hearing. And that's what Isaiah was talking about in Jesus' quotes. There is a seeing that is a mere caricature of the genuine article. And that's what Isaiah was talking about. So what makes it so or not so is by personal choice. With all seriousness of mind, we should receive God's Word in our hearts. With all seriousness of mind. Candidly receive it. After Jesus had spoken the tender parable of the Good Shepherd, the Jews who had listened called Him a devil and proceeded to stone Him to death in John chapter 10, but He escaped. We must candidly receive the Word of God honestly. We need to hear reverently also. Regardless of the speaker, all truth has to be respected because it comes from the mouth of God. It is God-breathed. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, the record of God says this, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." Reverently receive the Word of God as these Christians did in Thessalonica so long ago. They accepted it as the Word of God and it worked powerfully in their lives. Powerfully. Men should hear frequently. The riches of God's Word cannot be exhausted by any man over any stretch of a man's lifetime. You may have noticed this in your own personal study, that every time you pick up the Bible and spend a few minutes with the Word of God, you come away with something new and fresh and exciting. Some different perspective. Something that God says in His Word reaches you in a different way that has never reached you before. And because of those experiences over and over again, you keep going back to the water of life. You keep going back to that light to enlighten your soul. You begin to get to the point where you desire it so very much. You crave it. You're looking for the next available opportunity that you can glean something from the pages of God's Word. And what a wonderful feeling that is, isn't it? Isn't it truly wonderful? The riches of God's Word cannot be exhausted. Psalm 1 and verse 2 describes the one in this condition. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. Why does he do that? He gets something from it that helps him to live, truly live. In Acts 17, in verse 11, when Paul and Silas were at Berea, we mentioned that they were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily, to see whether these things were so. Daily they examined the Scriptures. Frequently. We should hear frequently the Word of God. We must hear it frequently. Men forget things, don't they? Things that we don't hear too often are diminished in our remembrance. We must hear what God says frequently to gain the maximum benefit that God wants us to. And of course, when we hear the Word of God, we must believe it. We have to believingly hear the Word. In Hebrews 4 and verse 2, "For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also," in reference to the Jews in previous time, "but the word they heard did not profit them." And he tells us why. It didn't do them any good. He tells us why. Because it was not united by faith in those who heard. They didn't mix faith with the word of God they heard. Without a personal response in faith to the promise of salvation from God, no one may ever be saved. The gospel has great power to awaken belief in the heart of its hearers. And if that belief is acted upon through obedience, it results in salvation from God. We must hear believingly and also submissively. Cornelius was anxious to hear, that he might submit to the instructions that came from God. In Acts 10 and verse 33, Peter with Cornelius of Caesarea. "So I sent for you," he said, "immediately, and you have been kind enough to come." He's telling Peter this. "Now then, we are all present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." What a great attitude that is. Don't hold anything back, Peter. Tell it like it is, Peter. You tell us everything we need to know from the Lord. That's what we want to hear. That's what we're all assembled here for this day, Cornelius is telling Peter. What a great attitude that is. And that's how we must hear also, submissively. Now, thirdly, the results of hearing right. Hearing in the right way. What does that do for us? How does it help us? How does it bless us? Is our final point of the lesson for today. Number one, it produces faith. Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us how faith comes to exist in the life of a person. Hearing. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And there you have it. So simple. That the word of Christ is that which produces faith in our hearts, the faith that we must have. Because everyone who comes to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The word of God produces faith in our hearts. It opens the door for a greater measure of understanding. We touched on this just previously. Luke 8 and verse 18. In the parable of the lamp, you recall, when Jesus said, "So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even that which he thinks he has shall be taken away from him." To seem to have a thing is only to have it in appearance, not in reality. It just seems that way. It seems that we have something. It is evident that these persons had something which might be taken away from them. And that's what Jesus is warning about. The Word of God, the divine seed, was planted in their hearts. It had already produced some good effects, but they permitted the devil, the cares of the world, the desire for riches, the love of pleasure, or other things to destroy what the Word of God could have produced in their lives. And so, the life-giving power of it was taken away. The one who has is the one who retains the word of God and keeps it in his heart and produces fruit in his life, produce in his life, more and more as a result. It opens a door for a greater measure of understanding as far as God is concerned. Hearing right also convicts of sin and righteousness. In Acts 2 and verse 37, when the people heard Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, they were pierced to the heart. And they said to Peter and the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? They were pierced to the heart. It had an effect on them. The word of God reached the core of their very existence. And decision time was here. It was time to make a decision. It was time to make a decision that affects the rest of our lives. And so we want to make a right decision. So Peter, as a spokesman for God, what do we need to do? That was their attitude. The word of God convicted them. They knew they were guilty. That's what we mean. The word of God convicted them. They knew they were guilty. And they knew there was a way out of it. They knew there was a way to be forgiven, and that's what they were looking for. Also, hearing rightly the word of God gives joy unspeakable. In John 15 and verse 11, Jesus said to his disciples, these things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Nothing incomplete about that, is it? Fullness of joy. The full measure of joy that you can possibly have. Real joy. Real happiness. Not fake stuff that comes by pursuing the wrong things in life, whereby we convince ourselves that we're going after happiness, but we're really not, because it's destroying our souls, and we feel guilty, and our conscience bothers us, and we're doing the wrong things. Not those type of things. Jesus is talking about real joy. The joy you can have, the joy of purity, the joy of a good conscience, the joy of peace with God and peace with all men. As far as is humanly possible, that joy can be attained through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is joy unspeakable. And Jesus said, your joy can be made full. Full. Not half empty. Not missing something. Not corrupt in some way or another. It can be made full, Jesus said. Luke 11, 27 and 28, while Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. Now notice how Jesus responded to that. But he said, on the contrary. In other words, that's not exactly what you need to be saying. That's not exactly accurate. On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. That's where Jesus said true blessing is found. True joy unspeakable. Those who hear the word of God and observe it. In Revelation 1 and verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it. That's the word of God. It gives unspeakable joy. It cleanses the heart. In John 15 and verse 3, you are already clean. Why? Because of the word I have spoken to you, Jesus said to his disciples. And it greatly strengthens man. In 1 John 2 and verse 14, I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. What made them strong? John indicates it's the fact that the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Someone says, I'm having the worst time of my life. Satan is after me, and he's getting the best of me at every turn. How do I defeat him? What do I do? John gives us a key here in 1 John 2 and verse 14. He talks about these young men. Some people have the estimation that young people are not worth very much in the kingdom of God. The Apostle John begs to differ with that concept. He said, I have written to you, young men. Why? Because you are strong, he said. How are they strong? The Word of God abides in you. How are they able to defeat the devil? He tells them, you have overcome the evil one. How? The Word of God abides in you. What great things the Word of God can do in our lives if we will allow it to. When Paul was giving his farewell at Ephesus, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, he said this, "Now I commend you to God." Of course he would say that to other Christians, wouldn't he? I commend you to God. Look to God. But that's not all he said. He said, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." What about that word? He says, "which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among those who are sanctified." What can do that? The Word of God. The Word of God is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Same is true with us today. We also live under the new covenant. The Word of God greatly strengthens us. And finally, it makes the hearer like a tree planted by the waters, fruitful, faithful, prosperous. Hear what the psalmist said in Psalm 1, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Now notice what will be characteristic of this man whose delight is in the law of the Lord and in whom he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Whatever he does, he prospers. And some people think the Word of God is a dead letter, that it has no power whatsoever. Not in my Bible, and not in your Bible either. The Word of God makes the hearer like a tree planted by the waters, fruitful, faithful, prosperous. How greatly blessed we are to have real knowledge and all discernment, as Paul put it to the Philippians in Philippians 1 and verse 9. Notice what Jesus said that Matthew records in his gospel in Matthew 13 and verse 17. Jesus said to the people who were listening to him on that day, "Truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see and did not hear it, did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Do you see what the Lord's saying right there? What that means for you and I is that we have the revelation of God that we can look to. And we can know a lot of things and benefit in a lot of ways from that word that others in the Old Testament were not able to do, because they didn't have the completed revelation of God. They didn't have all the story. They didn't know all the details like you and I can know. They didn't see what we see. They couldn't. They didn't hear what we hear. They couldn't. It was not yet revealed. What about you? Are you anxious to hear the words that the Lord spoke? That's a good question. Good question for me. Good question for you. Are you like the common people of his day who heard him gladly? Do you enjoy listening to him as the people did on that occasion when he sat in the boat and talked on the shore of the Sea of Galilee? What about you? Do you listen to the Word of God? If you're in our assembly today and you've listened to the Word of God and you've come to the point where you're pretty sure that the Lord now is the Son of God, just as he teaches in his Word, and you're becoming more and more greatly convinced of that every time you spend time with the Word of God, you're coming to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but you know you have not done everything that you need to know for the Lord to say to you, "You're forgiven." Because maybe you haven't confessed him before men. Maybe there's some sin in your life that you've not repented of. Maybe you've never been immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. But you know what? You can take care of that this very hour. And you can leave this building today as a Christian, one who has every sin that he's ever committed totally wiped off the slate of God, clean, forgiven. You'll be the happiest person today, I guarantee you, if that's your condition. And you want to fix it today, we can help you this very hour. And if we can, please come to the front and let us know that we may rejoice together with you while we stand together and encourage you by singing the invitation song number 269.